So how do you assess the church's relevance? Is it the dress code of the people up front? Is it the translation that they use? Is it the lighting and audiovisual? Is it the trendy books that they give out for free? Let me suggest to you that when the drummer gets up to preach, that's a good sign. If that's made you feel a little bit uneasy, don't worry. The Word of God is relevant. And as long as we are faithful to that, we can never fear to be irrelevant. Let's ask God for His blessing now. Our Father, thank You for the time that we've enjoyed around Your throne this evening already. Please would You speak to us now through Your Word and through Scripture. Open our eyes and open the eyes of our hearts, we pray. Create faith in us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear Mr. Van Niekerk, it is our pleasure to inform you that your name was randomly selected out of 12.1 million entrants registered in the Diversity Immigrant Visa Program. The Diversity Immigrant Visa Program is a United States congressionally mandated lottery program for receiving a United States permanent resident card. It's also known as the Green Card Lottery. With the Diversity Visa, also known as Green Card, you will enjoy all the advantages and benefits of a U.S. permanent resident, including health and education benefits, and employment opportunities, along with guidance in your new country, orientation sessions and programs to integrate you into mainstream American society. Once received, you can use this at any time you want to move into the United States, or just to travel. The visa must be renewed every 10 years. Has anyone else here been the lucky winner of a green card? All Mr. Van Niekerk had to do was to EFT an amount of $849 into a specified account by a certain date to secure his very own green card. So he was now the proud citizen of the United States, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Or was he? If Mr. Van Niekerk had been blessed with only average intellectual abilities, he would probably be able to recognize that this was a scam because, number one, he had not actually entered any such lottery, and number two, I think the United States government could come up with a better email address than johnjohn1971@yahoo.com. But if he hadn't realized that it was a scam, and he had booked tickets to the USA, what do you think the situation would have looked like when he got to border control? Most likely it would go something like this. Mr. Van Niekerk, we require a visa for you to enter our borders. Or, Mr. Van Niekerk. What do you mean? Here's my green card. And after spending a few hours in an interrogation room, he would probably find himself on a long, uncomfortable flight back to South Africa. The fact is, to be welcomed into a country as a citizen, you must measure up. You must fulfill certain criteria that that country stipulates. Your own belief, no matter how sincere or what paperwork you have to the contrary, simply will not do. You either belong in the land or you do not. Now, in that illustration, there wasn't much harm done by Mr. Van Niekerk's self-deception. Apart from maybe some wasted time, wasted money, perhaps a bit of a broken heart, he would be shipped off to the land where he does, in fact, hold citizenship. No lasting damage done. But now tonight I'd like to draw your attention to a far more important matter of belonging, a far more costly citizenship, which you simply cannot afford to be without, a citizenship which you cannot be deceived about at all. Please would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, and we'll read from verse 21 to verse 23. It's Matthew chapter 7, verses 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Let me read that again. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Those must be some of the most chilling words in all of Scripture. And perhaps they're not the most pleasant things to think about. But I trust that as we dig deep into this passage tonight, that eternity alone will reveal the benefit to us. Now, these words were spoken by the Lord Jesus during his famous Sermon on the Mount. Now, this sermon was something that he gave to the people of Israel fairly early on during his earthly ministry. And his teaching at the time was absolutely revolutionary. His knowledge of the Scripture, his insight into the heart of the law, and his authority was what made it revolutionary. Verses 28 and 29 say that the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority, not as their scribes. During the sermon, he spoke about many such topics as what true blessedness looks like, the preserving nature of the church in the world, the need for holiness in fulfilling the law, the heart of the law, hypocrisy, the Lord's Prayer, fasting, laying up treasure in heaven, not being anxious, spiritual pride, the love of the Heavenly Father for his children, the golden rule, and finally how the fruit of a tree is consistent with the tree. And now he comes to this idea of citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. And remember that he was addressing the Israelites here. The people of Israel laid great stock in their pedigree. They believed that their DNA somehow made them a part of God's special people, that their physical descent from Abraham was what counted, not realizing that just as God had chosen Isaac and not Ishmael, Jacob and not Esau to be the bearer of covenantal promises, so it was not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. It's Romans 9:8. Indeed, didn't John the Baptist affirm this very same thing in his stinging rebuke to the Pharisees when he said, "Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham." The fact is, there was nothing saving about fleshly descent. Now, the Israelites assumed that they were citizens of the kingdom, when in fact they were self-deceived. That's bad enough to be deceived by someone else. It's bad enough to be deceived by faith healers or the prosperity preachers or the doom-spraying charlatans of our day. But to be deceived by your own self when you have all the facts at your fingertips, that's a real travesty. Perhaps we ought to heed Christ's warning here and make certain that we do not make the same mistake that the Israelites were making. So let's take a closer look at what Jesus said under the following headings. Firstly, heavenly citizenship is more than mere words, verses 21a. Secondly, heavenly citizenship is more than mere works, verse 22. Jesus issues a warning to illegal immigrants in verse 23. And finally, we see the mark of a true patriot in verse 21b. So firstly, heavenly citizenship is more than mere words. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So what is the kingdom of heaven? Well, the Jews had this idea that the kingdom of heaven was an earthly theocracy, a Jewish supremacy in Israel under a perfect political potentate who would lead them into true freedom from oppression from their enemies and greatness such as was experienced under King David and King Solomon. Now, we know that that was not the case. That wasn't Christ's intention at all. The kingdom, we know, can refer to God's people on earth. And in a sense, God's kingdom did come with the spread of the gospel. But we also know that Jesus said quite clearly to Pontius Pilate at his trial, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." It's John 18:36. We also know from John 14, verse 3, that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house, and he will come again to take us to himself. No, the kingdom being spoken of here is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, here in Matthew 7, Jesus is telling us very clearly that not everyone who calls themselves a Christian, not everyone who's a member of a local church, not even everyone who preaches the gospel is necessarily a Christian. In fact, who says, "Lord, Lord," to God? The answer is obvious. It's someone who's praying. So you mean to tell me that someone who prays cannot be a real Christian? I don't even pray as much as I'd like to. What does that say about me? The fact is, citizenship in the heavenly kingdom is more than big talk. Secondly, heavenly citizenship is more than mere works. That's from verse 22, which says that on that day many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?" Now, on what day is that? It's on that day of days, which John speaks about in Revelation 20 and Paul speaks about in Romans 2 verse 16, the day of judgment. The day when the offer of forgiveness will come to an end, and those who have not kissed the Son will see his anger kindled and will perish in the way. On that great judgment day, many will appeal to their mighty works and their glorious ministries, and they'll bring all their ostentatious efforts to impress God and will be turned away. Now, it was just last week that we considered 1 Corinthians 13 in Family Bible Hour, which is that great passage on love, where Paul says that even if he can speak in the tongues of men and angels, even if he has prophetic powers and understanding of mysteries, even if he has faith enough to move mountains but hasn't got love, he's nothing. He has no value. Hebrews 6 speaks of the same thing. In fact, Hebrews 6 goes so far as to say that it's possible to have an amazingly effective ministry, even to do miraculous works and to know doctrine and be able to argue the finer points of theology better than Calvin himself. Doesn't actually say that. And yet not be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. So, being a citizen of the kingdom of heaven is more than mere words. It's more than mere works. And now we see Christ giving a warning to illegal immigrants in verse 23. Now, just like our poor guy who went to America on his supposed green card and was turned away, verse 23 records the assessment of the king for those who do not belong in the kingdom when they present all their superficial and irrelevant information to him as evidence of their citizenship. "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' I never knew you. Could you bear to hear those words from Almighty God? Can you imagine a more shocking assessment of your life? Teenager who's grown up in this church, can you imagine hearing that as God's words to you? For someone who's believed that they belong in the kingdom of heaven, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' To hear those words would be truly horrifying, knowing that the time for reconciliation with the king is over. The time for getting a green card has passed. The self-deception has run its course and the verdict is final. Depart from me. Where would you go? To what kingdom would you now belong? And I'll tell you, Scripture's clear. If you don't belong to the kingdom of God, you belong to the kingdom of hell. Finally, the marks of a true patriot. Going back to verse 21. Now, to find out that when all along you had thought that you were a true citizen of heaven, only to realize that you are self-deceived and are actually a citizen of hell, would be literally soul-destroying. But the good news is that it's not too late. That day has not yet come. And the offer for citizenship still remains. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." How's that good news? Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. How is that good news? Not only do I know that I cannot do the will of the Father going forward, but I know that I have a lifetime behind me of having broken his law as described by Christ in this very Sermon on the Mount. And not only that, perhaps I've lived my entire life taking the Lord's name in vain by saying that I'm a citizen of the kingdom, when in fact I have never known or been known by the King. But yes, I say it again, it is good news, because although you may have failed at every point and you may not measure up, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work," John 4:34. And he said on the cross, "It is finished," meaning that his obedience to the Father, his accomplishment of the Father's will here on earth, was perfect and it was complete. The Father affirmed that indeed it was finished by raising Christ from the dead, for the grave couldn't hold him. And now he offers to stand in your place, to take your punishment. He offers to give you his righteousness. He offers to give you the green card of heaven. So will you take him at his word? Will you admit that you don't measure up? You are the criminal. You are the illegal immigrant in the kingdom, the wolf in sheep's clothing. You have been living a lie, believing that you are worthy, all the while being unworthy. Will you stop trying to get into the kingdom on your own merit and agree with God? Repent and believe is what the Bible says. What does that mean? Repent. Confess your sins before a holy God and change your mind. Resolve in the power of the Spirit to forsake sin and cling to righteousness and believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus died for you. He died in your place so that you can belong. There are those in the church, and I would go so far as to say that in many places the church is filled with those who are self-deceived. They think they're citizens of the kingdom, but they're not. And I'm desperate to help them see this fact before it's too late. But the last thing that I want to do is discourage the faint-hearted. The last thing I want to do is to quench the burning wick, the smoldering wick, or break the bruised reed. So, true but doubting believer, how do you know whether you are in fact a citizen of the heavenly kingdom? What are the marks of a true patriot? The one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So, are you doing God's will? No, not perfectly. The temptation to sin is still there, and we still stumble and fall. But are you living a life characterized by obedience? Is it your fervent desire to do the will of God? Are you seeking first the kingdom of heaven? Scripture tells us that God commands all men everywhere to repent. So are you repenting? The issue is not that you prayed a prayer when you were 19 and felt something that moved you to tears. In fact, that's what many self-deceived people cling to as their evidence of being a citizen of the kingdom. The issue is not what happened at some point in the past. The issue is, are you repenting now? Are you believing now? Are you trusting Christ for the forgiveness of your sins right now? We often say that the gospel is not simply for the unbeliever. It's not the ABCs of the Christian life. It's the A to Z of the Christian life. And we just don't get beyond the gospel for this simple fact that it is those who persevere to the end who are saved. The Apostle Paul says that we ought to examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. So, do you love God? Does your love look like obedience? The only way we can obey is if we are, in fact, true citizens of the heavenly kingdom, because the King gives us his Holy Spirit, who is our guide, who enables us to rise above our fallen nature and become who we are in Christ. So, friend, sitting here tonight, the customs officer approaches. The time is coming to prove your citizenship. What evidence will you put forward? Let's pray. Father, thank you that the day of judgment hasn't yet come for many of us. Thank you that the offer for belonging in your kingdom still stands. And Lord, there may be even those here tonight who have deceived themselves. And Lord, I pray that you would please open their eyes to that. And Lord, that they would run to Christ. And I pray, Lord, for those who are doubting, that you would please give them evidence of your grace in their lives. Pray, Lord, that we would all constantly be examining ourselves. And Lord, that as we progress through our lives, that you would allow us to see evidence of grace so that we would be able to be confident knowing that we are yours. Thank you, Lord, for Christ who lived a perfect life where we could not and who died a death in our place. Lord, I just pray that you would glorify yourself as you change lives and save souls among us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.